The following program, The Russ Belleville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belleville Show are their own, and The Russ Belleville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and criminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
We love the air.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Thursday, December 12, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We're coming to you from beautiful Miami, Florida, where the sun has once again set and the temperatures are still balmy. It's my last day here in the tropical paradise, the northern capital of Latin America. Heading home tomorrow, got a trip flying through LAX and then make my way back to Portland. Should be back in time for the show, although I'm going to struggle to see what kind of show it'll be because I'll be just getting in time for the show and don't even know if I'll make the opening live mark, but we'll see what we can do. Going to be cutting it pretty close. But for today's show, we've got all sorts of great stuff for you. Today is our regular Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment. And on today's segment, we are going to have a guest from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition joining us. By the name of Richard Newton. He formerly with the Customs and Border Patrol, worked with the U.S. Marine Corps. He's one of those guys that flew Apache helicopters to try to interdict marijuana and cocaine coming across the border. We'll tell you how frustrating that was for him and why he now believes we should legalize all drugs. Also on today's show, we're going to have time to go behind the headlines and take a look at our friends Chris Goldstein and N.A. Poe out of Philly Normal, who this week are facing their trials on federal marijuana possession charges. Remember when the feds say they didn't go after people who are just merely possessing marijuana? Well, that's a bald-faced lie. We'll tell you all about that in Behind the Headlines. And then today for our radical rant, we're going to take another shot at drug testing in this country. Pennsylvania is looking at drug testing all their incoming potential teachers. And I'm going to compare and contrast that with the Metro North train wreck that happened out of New York just last week, where it turns out that drug testing this train operator didn't do anything to save the lives of the four people who died or to help the 67 people who were injured in that tragic train accident. We'll tell you what really was the culprit in that crash and what we can do instead of drug testing to really protect our society in those safety-sensitive positions. All of that coming up on the Russ Belleville Show here today, live from Miami, Florida. Thanks for joining us. Log on to 420radio.org today. Become a VIP member. We're back with the news right after this.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belleville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio. This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, December 12, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Uruguay's move to legalize marijuana breaks treaty, from Reuters.com. Uruguay's legalization of marijuana violates an international drug control convention and fails to consider a negative health impact, a body set up to monitor compliance with the five-decade-old treaty said on Wednesday. The president of the International Narcotics Control Board, or INCB, Raymond Yans, said the change would not protect young people but would rather have the, quote, perverse effect of encouraging early experimentation, end quote, and lowering the age of first use. Vienna-based INCB said the legislation contravenes the 1961 Single Convention on Narcotic Drugs, to which it said Uruguay is a party. The convention requires states to limit the use of cannabis to medical and scientific purposes due to its dependence-producing potential, Yans said in a statement. Yans, the INCB president, said Uruguay's decision, quote, fails to consider its negative impacts on health, since scientific studies confirm that cannabis is an addictive substance with serious consequences for people's health. Cannabis is not only addictive, but may also affect some fundamental brain functions, IQ potential, and academic and job performance, and impair driving skills. Smoking cannabis is more carcinogenic than smoking tobacco, end quote, the INCB statement said. The Liberty Bell 4, Smokedown Prohibition Federal Trial Updates, from Philly Normal. Sentencing hearings and trials continue in federal court this month for members of Philly Normal and the Panic Hour, concluding a remarkable year of protesting federal cannabis laws. Smokedown Prohibition gatherings at the symbolic site where the Declaration of Independence and Constitution were signed have been the only regular protest of federal cannabis policy. Comedian N.A. Poe will be sentenced on Friday, December 13th at 10:30 a.m. for his arrest during the Smokedown Prohibition Marijuana Legalization Rally in May at Independence Hall National Historic Park. Political activists Chris Goldstein and Don DeZarn are being put on trial by the Eastern District of Pennsylvania U.S. Attorney after being cited at two separate protest events while keeping up the monthly cannabis action. Their trial begins on Thursday, December 19th at 10:30 a.m. Both were cited in June and again in August after taking a few puffs of a single joint. They face the only federal trial for simple marijuana possession in recent memory. Philly Normal co-chair and U.S. Marine Corps veteran Mike Wider will represent himself in federal magistrate court on December 19th over his first cannabis citation. Poe, Wider, DeZarn, and Goldstein have been dubbed the Liberty Bell Four. Medical marijuana in Oregon, retailers will have to register, ensure security under guidelines. From the Oregonian. Beginning March 2014,
Medical marijuana retailers will be required to register with the state, maintain encrypted electronic records, and ensure around-the-clock security for their valuable inventory. The Oregon legislature earlier this year approved a law which for the first time regulates the robust marijuana retail industry that has cropped up in parts of the state in recent years. While retailers will fall under a blizzard of regulations starting next spring, marijuana growers and the cottage industry of companies testing the drug for potency and impurities will continue to operate without state oversight even under the new law. The health authority will begin accepting registry applications on March 3rd. Medical marijuana establishments currently operating in Oregon, advocates and dispensary owners estimate there are as many as 200, will have to apply and receive state approval to continue operating. Seattle closes in on fines for public pot smoking from Como News. A city council committee approved a plan to create a citation structure for people caught toking up in public view. A first offense will result in a warning. A second offense allows Seattle police to issue a $27 fine. San Jose medical marijuana crackdown begins after council vote on regulations. From the San Jose Mercury News. City officials on Wednesday began the process of shutting down medical marijuana shops next to homes as part of strict new regulations to be rolled out next year. A minute before midnight, the San Jose City Council late Tuesday ended an hours-long discussion and voted 8-3 to support a package of pot shop laws that they expect will take a final vote on in March. The regulations would limit the city's 82 medical marijuana dispensaries to operate in less than 1% of the city, mostly in the industrial northern tip of San Jose, away from homes, schools, and drug rehab centers. Those new rules could take effect next spring or summer. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, December 12th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a look at the Liberty Bell 4 and the rights they are standing up for all of us here in America. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org. Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs. Lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs. Home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs. Get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs. We've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. I don't know what this says about the online audience, The answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy. So.
Funny about nearly 1 million lives wrecked by a marijuana arrest every year, Mr. President. Politely tell President Obama what you think about legalization by calling the White House at 202-456-1111.
Welcome back, everybody. Quarter after the hour, and today for Behind the Headlines, I want to talk about friends of mine, specifically Chris Goldstein out there with Philly Normal. We mentioned in the news how he's a part of what are now being called the Liberty Bell Four, who are being tried at the federal level for mere marijuana possession. Not trafficking, not sales, not cultivation, mere possession. This all began as they started hosting what were called the Smokedown Prohibition Rallies. This was Philly Normal and a friend of Chris Goldstein's, N.A. Poe, who is with a comedy troupe called The Panic Hour. They all gathered together and had been holding rallies at the Liberty Bell Park. You know, there's a federal park for the Liberty Bell. Holding rallies there where numerous speakers would come forth and express the need to end adult marijuana prohibition and calling for, you know, liberty. At the Liberty Bell, considering the Constitution and Declaration of Independence were signed there, it's the birthplace of American democracy, they feel that it's necessary to protest these federal laws that maintain the prohibition of cannabis hemp for the descendants of a bunch of hemp farmers. So it's a very in-your-face type of a protest. And it has generated a response from the federal government, particularly the National Park Service, which originally allowed these protests to go on. And understand, these protests, after the speakers and such, they would have a moment of cannabis reflection at 4:20. And that just meant, you know, people would whip out their joints and pipes and start smoking to protest, once again, the federal government's prohibition of marijuana. Now, originally, the response was to just allow that to happen, but apparently somebody got word from higher up that this needed to be shut down. So starting this summer, they started issuing citations and actually making arrests in these cases of N.A. Poe and Chris Goldstein and Don DeZarn and Mike Weider, the four people involved here. So N.A. Poe, he was actually tackled by park police when they arrested him for his smoking of a joint. And he will be sentenced tomorrow at 10:30 in the morning in Washington, D.C. with respect to his May arrest at Independence Hall National Park. Chris Goldstein and Don DeZarn are being tried starting a week from today. And also a week from today, Mike Weider will be in federal magistrate court. Now, folks, we are talking about the federal government spending far more time and money to process and try these guys for merely possessing, you know, less than a gram of marijuana. And we also are, this also just flies in the face of the federal government constantly saying, we don't use our limited resources to go after people that are just using marijuana. We go after the big guys, the big fish, the traffickers, the cultivators, the cartels. Well, no, you're not. The federal government is now going after a friend of mine and his friends for merely smoking a joint at the Liberty Bell. Now, we do know that the federal government has issued these guidelines in the August 29th Cole memo, where they talked about, you know, the eight things that the legalized states would have to do in order to not invite federal interference. And one of those was to make sure there was no marijuana use on federal property. Well, the Independence Hall Park, that is federal property. And so apparently what the government here is trying to do is trying to send a very strong message that these kind of protests are not going to be tolerated. And we need to send a stronger message back that infringing on the liberty of those protesters is not to be tolerated. Part of the defense going forward is going to be a First Amendment defense, that these guys were,
exercising freedom of expression by smoking the joint. Legal scholars are telling me that there's not much hope in that defense, as the Controlled Substances Act has long been defended against such attacks in the courts. But if you want to help these guys out, help their legal fund, this could set some precedent. You can go to GoFundMe.com, and it's SDP420. GoFundMe.com/SDP for Smoke Down Prohibition. Help out Chris and Don, as well as N.A. Poe and Mike Weiner. All right, folks, that sound, of course, means it is time for a break. Let's engage in our own moment of cannabis reflection and think about what Ben Franklin would have thought about Prohibition. We'll be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man, reefer man? If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm a reefer smoking man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack Go!
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activist to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for our Groovin' Thursday. And normally at this time, I'd be speaking to Bago Schwago from down there in Tucson, Arizona. But apparently, his internet is out today. So just going to pull a song up from the archives. Can't believe this tune is 10 years old. The album, Get Rich or Die Tryin'. This is 50 Cent with High All the Time on your Groovin' Thursday Daily Toker Tunes.
Kelly Boo.
I need Dom Perignon, I don't need Chris. Tangeray and Alize, I don't need shit. Nigga, I'm high all the time. I smoke that good shit. I stay high all the time. I'm on some hood shit. Give me some drove, purple haze, and some chocolate. Give me a Dutch and a lighter, I spark shit. And stay high all the time. I smoke that good shit. I'm high all the time. And I'm on some hood shit. Every time I roll up, niggas holla roll up. Then I tell them, roll up. You ain't getting money, you ain't smoking in my Benzo. 20 inch Lorenzo, smoking a window.
as a motherfucker, I be on the back streets. Niggas know I clap heat. Only if you got beat, man, you better holler at me. Niggas get locked up, stabbed up, shot up. Every time I pop up, a lot going on in my hood. I shoot the dice, I holler, get them girls. Daddy need new shoes. Daddy need Pirellis to look mean on 22. Stash box, Xbox, laptop, fax machine, phone. Bulletproof this bitch and I'm gone. 2003 Suburban swerving. Too many sips of Henny. The D's sick, they search the whip and they can't find the semis. They was just harassing me cause they know who I was. Spent the night in Central Brooklyn, so smoking some bulls.
Young Perry, young, I don't need Chris. Tango Ray, LSA, I don't need shit. Nigga, I'm high all the time. I smoke that good shit. I stay high all the time. I'm on some hood shit. Give me some dro, purple haze, and some chocolate. Give me a Dutch and a lighter, I spark shit. And stay high all the time. I smoke that good shit. I'm high all the time. And I'm on some hood shit.
Now, if you heard, I done started some shit. It ain't because I be high. I be high. I be high. And if you heard, I done let off a clip. It ain't because I be high, I be high. But I twist that la 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 la. I get high as I want a nigga. Go against me for show, you's a goner nigga. I don't smoke to calm my nerves, but I got beef. Finna crush my enemies like I crushed the ass sheets. If you love me, tell me you love me. Don't stare at me, man. I hate to be in the pins clapping one of my fans. Now let me show you how to greet me when you meet me. When you see me, if you're real, my nigga, you know how to holler, G, you man. There's no competition, it's just me. 50 Cent, motherfucker, I'm hot on these streets. If David could go against Goliath with a stone, I could go at Nas and Jigga, both for the throne.
I don't need Don Perignon, I don't need Chris. Tango Ray, LSA, I don't need shit. Nigga, I'm high all the time. I smoke that good shit. I stay high all the time. And I'm on some hood shit. Give me some dro, purple haze, and some chocolate. Give me a Dutch and a lighter, I spark shit. And stay high all the time. I smoke that good shit. I'm high all the time. And I'm on some hood shit.
Now who you know besides me who write lines and squeeze nines and have hoes in the hood sniffing on white lines? You don't want me to be your kid's role model. I teach him how to buck them 380s and load up the have shorty fresh off the stoop, ready to shoot. Big blunt in his mouth, deuce in his boot. Sit in the crib, sipping Guinness, watching Menace, then oh lord. Have a young nigga bucking shit like the old dog. My team, they depend on me when it's crunch time. I eat a nigga food in raw day like it's lunchtime. You feeling brave, nigga? Go ahead, get gully. See if I'ma leave your brains leaking up out your scully. I done made myself hot, so ain't shit you could tell me. Now niggas calling me the feature, man. Fuck your money. I ain't hurting, I'm alright, nigga. I'm doing good. I ain't got the right rhymes. I got bricks in the hood.
I don't need Don Perignon. I don't need Chris. Tango Ray, LSA, I don't need shit. Nigga, I'm high all the time. I smoke that good shit. I stay high all the time. And I'm on some hood shit. Give me some dro, purple haze, and some chocolate. Give me a Dutch and a lighter. I spark shit. And stay high all the time. I smoke that good shit. I'm high all the time. And I'm on some hood shit.
G-Unit, are you ready? G-Unit, are you ready? G-Unit, are you ready? Nigga, ready or not, here I come, come,
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
The Russ Belville Show.
I'm not very good at singing songs, but here's a try.
According to lifelong pot smoker and rocket scientist Carl Sagan, making apple pies from scratch is extremely difficult.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe.
Radical Russ and the Rolla J Studios crew will be right back after these messages.
A morning filled with 400 billion suns. The rising of the Milky Way.
The cosmos is full beyond measure.
One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
Welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour, and our guest today on Cops Say Legalize Drugs is Richard Newton, who is a former U.S. Marines aviation specialist who worked in interdiction of drugs during the heyday of the Miami Vice era. And Richard, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Should be fun.
Yes, yes. I was just reading your bio here on Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, saying that you spent 32 years working, flying helicopters and interdicting shipments of marijuana and cocaine and other drugs. And tell us a little bit about that experience. I mean, what was that like?
Well, it was actually fun. They gave you a gun, a badge, a Black Hawk helicopter, and a Citation jet, and send you all over the American hemisphere.
In your experience, what was the largest amount of drugs that you ever took down?
We caught a load in a Go-Fast down in Puerto Rico coming from Colombia, because it's only about 350 miles from the Guajira Peninsula to Puerto Rico. 1,000 kilos of wholesale coke, which we figured had a worth of around $90 million. On the street.
Wow. Interdiction of $90 million worth of cocaine. And of course, after you caught that, nobody ever did cocaine ever again, right?
The price didn't go up a penny in San Juan. And that's about the time I really started thinking this was stupid. Interdiction was a stupid policy.
You know, that's something we've heard from people who've worked with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition before, is a feeling they get of frustration that, you know, you go into this with the best of intentions and wanting to serve your country or serve in law enforcement, only to find that you're kind of on a make-work job. Is that a feeling that is pervasive among the people you worked with?
Well, I think some people actually think they're doing some good, but when you look at the statistics, U.S. Customs will tell you they only catch 7 to 13%. And I've also read studies showing that we'd have to catch over 90% of the illicit drugs coming into this country to make a dent in the the cartel makes a profit unless we catch 90% of the drugs. So we'd have to improve our performance almost by a factor of 10.
Hmm. And what about the danger inherent in this job? Were you ever afraid of crashes or being shot down or anything like that?
I don't think so much. Well, I mean, yes, it's a law enforcement job. I've lost friends in aviation crashes. while they were on flying for customs, which actually one of those prompted me to retire early. I figured it wasn't worth my time anymore. And we've had attempts, guy tried to ram one of our helicopters with his airplane. So, you know, it was fun. It was, I did some stuff out of the Miami Vice TV series. Literally.
Yeah, you know, we remember those days. I remember growing up watching that show. And as your bio states, literally, cocaine is falling from the sky as some of these pilots are dumping it, you know, trying to get away. That's just got to be a crazy time in your career. And what would you say is the solution to this? I mean, it seems like these people are going to traffic in drugs and use every way. I mean, they're using submarines out of South America now. What's the solution?
Yeah, actually, that's actually nothing new. We caught a few of those back in the mid-90s when I was living in Puerto Rico with customs. So that's nothing new. Tunnels under the border, nothing new. As long as there is demand, and the United States has the highest demand for illicit drugs of any nation on earth, there's going to be people selling it. I personally think, of course, the solution is to legalize it, which also means regulate it and tax it, and make it a mental health and a health issue, not a law enforcement issue.
How would you talk to people in that are currently in law enforcement or the military whose, you know, their very jobs depend on this make work of interdicting drugs? What's going to convince them to change their minds?
Well, there's enough other places where we could use law enforcement, whether we turn, you know, like turn the DEA more towards getting them into the FBI. The FBI has, you know, changed its direction from fraud and banking and stuff like that into counterterrorism. So now there's holes in some of the earlier areas that, you know, the FBI did. Customs, same way. Customs traditionally did five areas of law enforcement, only one of which was drug interdiction. And there's other problems out there, like one of the big customs things is actually child pornography. You know, there are other areas of law enforcement that they could turn their talents to. Hmm. Actually catching criminals that actually, I think, harm the United States, or harm citizens of the United States.
What a great idea. Take all that effort used to try to interdict drugs and go after child porn and bank fraud. I am with you all the way. We're speaking with Richard Newton. He's with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, the nation's and the world's largest organization of retired and former and even some active police, prosecutors, judges, prison guards that have realized, being on the front lines of this war on drugs, that it's just not winnable. It's just not worth doing. And this week, Richard, we saw an amazing development coming out of the country of Uruguay that finally legalized the sale, the production, trafficking, everything having to do with the use of marijuana. But it seems that countries and politics are way behind when it comes to the idea of legalizing other drugs. How would you get past that and make people understand that it's not just marijuana we need to deal with, but also these other drugs in some regulated fashion?
Well, LEAP basically says you name the drug you want sold on the street corner, and that's the one we'll keep illegal. So, you know, actually NPR had a thing on it this morning, and they were talking that the people of Uruguay feel this may just be the first step, and the next thing they do will be cocaine. And again, you know, we've got two states now where marijuana use is legal, Colorado and Washington. A year and a half from now, we'll see what happens with the statistics as to whether it causes, legalizing drugs causes more crime, usage is up, alcohol-related accidents are down because when people smoke marijuana, they use less alcohol, so forth and so on. So we now have finally a couple laboratories to see what this stuff actually will do.
Mm. All right.
And I will also say, in countries like Portugal and the Netherlands, where it's been decriminalized, usage goes down. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll be interested to see what those statistics show us, but I have a feeling we'll see good come from this. And Richard, since leaving your service in Customs and Border Protection and the U.S. Marines, what have you been doing since then as far as your career and speaking?
Well, I speak for LEAP as much as possible, like these radio interviews. And actually, I retired primarily, the federal government, if you carry a gun in law enforcement, you have to retire at 57. And I really can't complain because my take-home pay is almost the same as it was when I worked. So, like, I'm planning an around-the-world trip this summer with my daughter for about 6 months to a year.
Oh, well, that sounds wonderful.
And speaking for LEAP and doing some other volunteer projects in the community, trying to give some stuff back to the community.
That sounds wonderful. And as you're out speaking for LEAP and speaking to the public in these various forums and radio shows, have you sensed that people are starting to get it? I mean, we've seen the public polls go up for marijuana legalization, but are people starting to get the overall LEAP message that just prohibition in general doesn't work?
I think so, actually, because all these people come up to me. Even politicians come up to me and say it. They won't say it in public, because anybody who thinks a politician's a leader better redefine leadership. they'll come up and say, and even other law enforcement people, they basically say, we know this isn't working, but we have to continue the show. You know, the dog and pony show, if you will,
mm-hmm.
That we're doing something. But yeah. Again, when I read here, I live in El Paso, I'm 2 miles from Mexico and 3 miles from Juarez. When I see in a local paper that they caught 500 pounds of marijuana, that tells me about 4,500 pounds made it through.
Right.
Because U.S. Customs, again, says they catch 7 to 13%. So if we take an average of 10%, that's a very simple way to say how much drugs are coming into the country.
Yeah.
Simple math.
Yeah, very, very good point there. And living so close to Juarez, you know, we know of the horrific stories that have gone on, the murders and the torture and beheaded bodies laid out in the streets. How much does this impact people living in El Paso? And do you feel like the rest of the United States really has no clue how bad it's gotten there?
Well, you know, what's interesting is Juarez has settled down within about the last year, but the rest of Mexico, it's up to, I just heard a figure of 100,000 people killed in the drug war in Mexico in the last 5 years. But El Paso is the safest city in the United States, safest large city in the United States by FBI statistics.
Wow.
The only thing I can figure is the cartels want to keep the violence in Mexico. Because if you commit a murder in Mexico, you only have a 2% chance of being investigated for that murder, or that murder being investigated. Whereas if that violence had been done north of the Rio Grande, there'd be FBI task forces, customs, sheriffs, Texas Rangers, and everything else investigating and enforcing laws.
Do you feel there needs to be any sort of aid from the United States to help Mexican law enforcement with these investigations and crimes?
No, I think basically that's almost, okay, we give them X $X billion, but what are we giving them? We're giving them helicopters that are made in the United States, so it's actually a form of aid to our industry, not actually aid to Mexico. Again, the solution, in my opinion, is legalize it. You legalize it, you get rid of the profit motive, you get rid of the profits, and you get rid of the smuggling. They don't smuggle cigarettes into the United States from Mexico, or alcohol, tequila for that matter.
Yeah, very, very good point. And of course, being from El Paso, you are in the district where Beto O'Rourke defeated Sylvester Reyes, the eight-term congressman there. It seems like politically things are changing in your area of the state as well.
Well, I hope so. Actually, Beto was actually my city councilman. I live in his district. I'm not seeing a lot of action actually on his part. I wrote him an email a few months ago because I gave him some money. You know, maybe he's just kind of hunkered down as a freshman congressman and not saying a whole lot, but hopefully. And Gary Johnson, of course, is right across the border in New Mexico, who's a Libertarian candidate for president this last time around, who is actually on the board of directors of LEAP, and his vice presidential candidate is a speaker for LEAP. So,
yes, Judge James Gray, we've had him on the show numerous times. Well, I want to thank you very much, Richard, for appearing on our show today and for the service you gave to our country and Customs and Border. I wish it had been directed toward better ends, but between you and I, maybe we can see that happens in our lifetime.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right. Thanks for joining us. All right, folks, stick around. We'll be back with a radical rant on drug testing right after this.
simply business. It's simply business, you know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
Oh, hello. I'm Big Daddy, and I want you to join me at the Funky Roller Rink. We're partying hard over here, baby. So stop on by, check out the funky grooves, and shake your booty too.
Don't get in a too deep, brother. Don't get in a too heavy. Don't get so you can move about whenever you get ready.
If you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana, less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way. For more information, visit marijuanaissafer.org.
You know, I've been playing rock and roll for a lot of years, and I've done it all. Now I do it without drugs. Hey, don't get me wrong, I still party with the best of them, but now I do it clean. You know, I'm on top of everything I do.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everyone. 47 after the hour. And for today's Radical Rant, I want to revisit a subject that I talk about quite a bit here on the show. And that would be workplace drug testing. And of course, you know my opinions on this. I find it disgusting and an invasion of our Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights. But beyond that, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't do anything to keep us safer in the society. And there's a story that happened just last week that I think will highlight that just a bit. Before we get to that, let me give you why I got onto drug testing today. There's a story out on newsworks.org. It says, Pennsylvania measure requiring drug tests for prospective teachers and school workers advances. This was something proposed in the State House in Pennsylvania, and if it is passed by the State Senate, everybody who's offered a position by a school, you know, no matter what kind of school, school district, charter school, cyber charter schools, would be barred from employment if their P-test shows that they've been using illegal drugs. And as we all know, the P-tests are most likely to show and the people are most likely to be using marijuana. So again, discrimination against people who use marijuana at the level of becoming a school teacher. Now, the reasoning behind this, of course, is WOTC. You know, what about the children? There's a representative, Tony DeLuca, who sponsored this legislation in Pennsylvania. He said, quote, "We introduced this piece of legislation mainly to protect our children and solve problems before drug users get into the system." And among some of the reasoning by Representative DeLuca here as to, and DeLuca's a Democrat, by the way, some of the reason why DeLuca is upset about this is because of a recent example of a 26-year-old substitute art teacher in Pittsburgh who admitted to using heroin before passing out in front of his high school class. So you had the art school or the art class sub passed out from heroin, and that's why we need to drug test every teacher that would ever want to be hired in Pennsylvania. He doesn't have any actual data on this, though. He doesn't have any actual data to go by. There's no huge explosion of drug-using teachers that has caught his eye. No, it's just this one passed out from heroin. He says he's got numerous anecdotal reports. Numerous. DeLuca also said, "We got to make sure when our children go to school, they're taught by individuals who are alert and free of drugs." Well, aside from, you know, going out and drinking the night before and coming in teaching on a hangover or being prescribed Xanax or Percocet or Dilaudid or Vicodin or Prozac or Wellbutrin. You know, they can teach on all those drugs. That's fine because that's, you know, prescriptions, doctors, but not, you know, not the illegal drugs. But I actually have some statistics. You know me, I look shit up. So in 2007, there was a study by the Federal Department of Health and Human Services that found 4% of employees working in an education reported illicit drug use. 4%. The average for all professions is 11%. So yeah, we really need to focus on the school teachers when they seem to be taking drugs at less of a rate than almost anybody. The other statistic I found when I was looking this up, and this should really shock and disturb the listeners, 47 million full-time workers reported that they had to take a drug test during the hiring process. 47 million Americans had their pee seized and analyzed to see if it would meet the company's guidelines for urine purity before they could go to work. And that makes up 42.9% of all full-time workers. Almost 43% of all full-time workers had to be judged on the quality of their pee, not the quality of their resume. But of course, we can do this all because we got to save the children. What about the children? Won't you think of the children? DeLuca goes on to say, quote, "It makes no sense to me that we have drug-free zones and we tell our students to say no to drugs, yet we don't screen these individuals before they get into the system." So he wants to prevent, you know, any druggies from becoming teachers, but that's not enough for DeLuca. He goes on in the story to say he would love to see a law that would require random drug testing for all school employees. You know, to hell with the cost. I mean, the cost would be anywhere from $30 to $50 per test, and the employees have to cover the cost of being tested. But hey, what else can we do to protect the children, right? Oh, and of course, individuals on prescription drugs would be protected. So I predict a whole lot of teachers in Pennsylvania getting a prescription for Marinol. You know that trick, don't you? You get yourself a prescription for Marinol, the synthetic THC, and these cheap first-line tests they use for prospective employment can't distinguish between the metabolite made by synthetic THC and the metabolite made by natural THC. So when you fail your drug test, you can go forward and say, "Hey, I've got a prescription for Marinol." And that Marinol prescription should protect you under this Pennsylvania law. So we're going to see a whole lot of teachers on Marinol. Now, when he was pressed by this DeLuca, you know, the reporter asked him, "Would you support drug screening for prospective members of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives?" DeLuca said, "No problem. I'd be happy to introduce that. I could introduce that to satisfy some people. I don't know where it would go. I think people in government all over should be tested, not just the House of Representatives. We got a lot of people making decisions on people's lives, people in local government, people in the governor's office, different staff members. Should we test them all? I have no problem with it." End quote. Now, what is it that makes otherwise rational human beings believe that divining the contents of someone's urine is going to tell you whether or not they are fit to do a job or they are a person you would like to hire? We have just gotten to this point in society where the demonization of drug use and marijuana use has become so prevalent in our society that it's equated that using marijuana per se makes you bad, makes you unfit, makes you a possible danger. Let me segue this now to where the real danger is, people. Remember last week when there was that big train crash up in New York? This was the New York Metro North train, and it crashed going around a 30-mile-an-hour corner at over 80 miles an hour, 82 miles an hour in a 30-mile-an-hour zone. And it turns out now, that, of course, after the wreck, and this wreck killed four people, by the way. This train wreck killed four people and injured 60 others. 67 more people were injured in this. And National Traffic Safety Board, of course, does an immediate breathalyzer test on any accident like this. And they find the conductor in this case. His name was William Rockefeller. William Rockefeller came up completely negative on his alcohol breath test. There's still the toxicology test they have yet to get back as far as whether or not he had any drugs in his system. But all the reports I'm reading now coming out of CNN and National Geographic and some of the New York Post and some of those outlets there in New York are talking about how this train engineer was sleep deprived. That was what led to the deaths of four people and the injuries of 67 others. According to the according to the union representative for William Rockefeller, quote, he was nodding off and caught himself too late. The alcohol breath tests were negative. The brake and the signal systems were working just fine. He was just too tired. Now, speaking to some experts in sleep deprivation, one named Stephen Herod from the University of Dayton said that the early morning hour likely contributed. There's this kind of twilight phenomenon. And he says, quote, if he was dead asleep, his hands would have come off the controls and some of the dead man stuff would have come into play. That's the automatic, braking. If the conductor's hands get off the controls, the trains automatically break, figuring that he fell asleep or passed out or something, right? So that didn't happen. Herod continues, but if it was kind of that twilight where you're just there and still kind of gently holding on to things, but not quite really aware, which in my mind is still sleeping, that's still sleeping. This engineer, I'm sure, as the evidence comes out, I think we're looking at a sad, really basic kind of inattentiveness. Nothing fancy, no alcohol, no drugs, maybe not even a cell phone, just plain vanilla inattentiveness. End quote. That's four deaths, 67 injuries. Now, was this engineer drug tested to get his job? Of course he was. National Transportation Safety Board, all that any sort of Department of Transportation job, they have to have not only a pre-employment drug test, but they get random drug tests. Did that drug test in any way give this guy enough sleep to be able to safely operate the train? We focus so much on these drug tests and these numbers as if they mean something, and we only have a finite amount of time and resources to make sure that the people handling the safety-sensitive positions are actually up to the task, and we delude ourselves into believing that these drug tests actually mean anything, and they do not. We have all sorts of statistics showing how awful the sleep deprivation can cause, all the accidents it can cause. There were 2 million people who admit to falling asleep at the wheel last year. 1 out of 5 motor vehicle accidents are related to sleep deprivation. That adds up to 1 million crashes a year and 7,500 deaths a year from sleep deprivation. This is part of a growing trend. This happens in hospitals. There's a story National Geographic put out that talked about 1 in 20 hospital residents making a fatigue-related mistake that led to the death of a patient. And it's not like we don't have the ability to test for these things. There are such things as performance impairment tests that are kind of like a little video game that you set a baseline and then it tracks your hand-eye coordination and your attentiveness. And not only does that catch someone who's high or drunk, it catches someone who's too tired, someone who's too sick, someone who's emotionally distracted, whatever the reason might be. It's time for us to turn to impairment testing for our safety-sensitive positions and get rid of drug testing in our non-safety-sensitive positions. All right, folks, that's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us here for this week of shows in Miami, Florida. I'm back in Portland, Oregon tomorrow for the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. For everyone here at 420 Radio, thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it.